So I was, of all places, I know you'll be shocked to hear I was at Rick and Diane's last week when my cell phone went off and it was Bob Flanders. How many people here know Bob Flanders? Bob is not only a great guy, formerly a state senator, but he's the town moderator. And what Bob asked me to do on the phone is if I would go ahead and do the invocation for the town meeting last Thursday. And I've done invocations for a couple of Boy Scout things. But I've never done an invocation for a town-level thing, so I was pretty excited about it. And I said yes, except that I first had to check with my dear wife because Mikey had a Pops concert the same night, and I had to make sure that the time would be coordinating okay. And it was a little off, but I did make it there and enjoy some of the little candies they had on the table. So I did. I was a bit nervous because it's not something I've done before. Not that I should be nervous, but I'm human. So I was a bit nervous. I went in, I chatted a bit with Bob. I've never been to a town meeting. That's probably something I shouldn't admit. I actually hoped to go to this one. So at first I went down, I figured it would be down at the town hall. Luckily, however, because I do have an operational nature, I went so early it didn't matter that A, it wasn't down there, B, I had to walk around and see a sign before I could figure out why nobody else was there. I got in plenty of time, go and chat with Bob, get ready. They give me the mic. I ask everybody to bow their heads. I say something quickly about just as Solomon asked for wisdom. If you go look at when Solomon asked for wisdom, he asked for wisdom to lead the Israelites. He realized his need. I said, just as Solomon realized his need for wisdom to lead the Israelites, we now ask for wisdom to make decisions for the town of Antrim. And then I wrapped up the prayer and said, in Jesus' name, amen. But before I even had time to hand the mic, walk away, and rush off to the Pops concert, somebody in the crowd said, I'm not saying the words are 100% accurate, but this is what it was, you can't just pray in Jesus' name. You just can't pray in Jesus' name. Now, I will admit, I knew that praying in Jesus' name might be a bit controversial. It's not like I'm deaf to the news. But I didn't expect anyone to actually speak up. And in fairness to the woman, she did call to clear things up. Although it was basically to tell me she knew it wasn't my fault, that I didn't know that 20 years ago this came up and that there was an agreement not to have specifically Christian prayers. And so she blamed Bob Flanders for not letting me know. But I explained to her during our conversation that for me not to pray in Jesus' name would be to deny my faith. That I had to pray in Jesus' name. And what's kind of especially interesting is that, and Bob, on the way out, he told the people, he said, I'm the minister of the church. And then he told the people, and I'm not sure exactly why, but he told the people basically I was the third choice. That he had checked with the Presbyterian minister and he had checked with the Baptist minister, and they both had conflicts. And I said, I don't. I'm glad to be third choice. I praise God, and I did praise God for the opportunity. But if you think about it, that would seem to imply that the other two ministers were willing to pray in a way that would not offend the sensitivities of Jews, pagans, or even atheists. All of which came up in my conversation with this lady, who again deserves credit for at least trying to clear things up. But it would imply that they were willing to pray in such a way that even an atheist wouldn't be offended. And if that's true, it disturbs me quite a bit. Although I'm not really surprised that a Presbyterian USA minister could. If you look at their denomination, it makes sense. I'm a little surprised that a Baptist minister, especially a non-liberal denomination of Baptists would. And in fairness to anybody who might hear this and not hear, I don't know for sure. It could be that the conversation I had with her or the implications I'm taking for it are unfair, but every implication is that somehow a Baptist minister in the town of Antrim could pray in such a way that people who want to be sensitive, and I can assure you there was a desire to be sensitive, but people who want to be sensitive would not take aversion to it. Question is, of course, I can tell you that I can't pray without praying in Jesus' name, without denying my faith. Is that reasonable? Oh, good. I'm glad you shake your head. Now we all agree. I guess we can just wrap up the sermon at this point then. Whoops. Can I go ahead and do a prayer and leave off Heavenly Father at the beginning and in Jesus' name at the end? And yes, Heavenly Father was offensive too. She didn't bring it up, but it did come up in the conversation. And that too, although I suspect with that, it was more of her feminist side than her non-Christian side that was offended by Heavenly Father. Can I leave those off and still pray the way we Christians are supposed to pray? Now, there is only one place we can get that answer, so let's all break out that one place. But before we go ahead and dig into it, let's talk about what's in a name again. And I apologize, I know on some things I'm like a broken record, but this is important. What is in a name, as in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus Christ? Name in that context what it means. Biblically, Jesus' name is not a bunch of letters assembled in such a way that it only creates an auditory symbol for a man who lived a couple thousand years ago. It's not just a symbol. And we don't think of words this way, but words are just symbols. When I say Michelle, where do you all look? It's a symbol for her. And I like looking at her. Secondly, biblically, Jesus' name is not some kind of magical sound that are the Christian equivalent of something like abracadabra. And I think we Christians sometimes can give that implication. But biblically, Jesus' name is a representation of his character, his nature, his entire being. His character, his nature, his entire being. When we do anything in his name, we are connecting it to his person. We are invoking him. So when we pray in Jesus' name, it's just not a mere word so we get somebody to think about some guy who walked around in sandals in a Western Anglo-Saxon picture, has a beard and long hair and white skin. We are connecting him to that prayer. We are invoking him. And even that word probably has too much potential meaning, but I think you get the point. We are connecting it to Jesus. Now, we are also trusting him in his and our Father to listen and to answer. That's in his nature, is it not? And we know that he will do, that the response will be whatever is best for us, for our family and friends, for our neighbors, for our town, for our state, for our planet, and for the universe. And we know that because Jesus' name represents the one who created us, who created our neighbors, our town, our state, our country, our planet, and the universe. It's not just some fancy bow that we tie a prayer up with that supernaturally forces God to listen. And I think, again, we Christians sometimes can make it come off that way. And perhaps even myself, when I get to the end of the prayer, I need to be less perfunctory about it. That when I say, in Jesus' name, I need to slow down first and say, in Jesus' name, so that it's not just a bow that I'm quickly wrapping up a prayer with. The amen I'm okay with. Because what does that mean? So be it? Is that what amen? Now, if praying in Jesus' name is not referring to the words themselves, then technically couldn't I pray in Jesus' name without actually using the words? And although I can see some validity in that argument, a little bit, tiny bit of validity in that argument, if I adjust my prayer so that anyone of any religion or no religion at all is 100% comfortable, then how can I claim that at any level it is in Jesus' name? Sure, I could drop the words in Jesus' name at the end, and I could drop Our Father at the beginning, but then wouldn't I have to drop Amen? Because isn't that kind of Christian? And I couldn't have mentioned Solomon, because not only is that a Judeo-Christian story, but let's be serious. He was a Neanderthal. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He objectified women. Got the old feminist thing going on there too. By the time I would be done removing all the things that anybody listening could object to, yeah, I would make everybody feel warm and fuzzy. This caller told me how... See, what I'm trying not to do is to mention anybody by name, but how warm and fuzzy so-and-so's prayer makes her at the things. But to me, what you end up is basically oatmeal. But not oatmeal with all kinds of good fixings in it. Oatmeal as in gooey, tasteless slop. And by the way, no offense meant to oatmeal lovers out there. But most people do add stuff to oatmeal. You don't need, but the prayer would be oatmeal without the brown sugar, without the raisins or whatever else you like. M&M's, I suppose, would be really good. And that's a problem. Beyond the fact, like I said, I only give a little validity to the ability to pray in Jesus' name without using the words. Let's go ahead and look in Scripture. And we're going to start with John chapter 14. Let's see what it means and whether we're actually asked, that is, to pray in Jesus' name. John 14, verses 13 and 14. John 14, 13 and 14. You all there? John 14, 13 and 14. This is Jesus speaking himself. Oh, there you are, Mike. I was going to ask you to read, but I couldn't see you. You were invisible. Maybe get prepared. Maybe the next one. Okay? 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Based on those two verses, if I want my prayer, or I should say, if I wanted my prayer for the town meeting to be answered, in whose name should I have asked? Jesus. Now, John also provides us with the next scripture. Mike, do you want to read this one? The next scripture is John 16, 26 through 27. John 16, 26 through 27. So you're going to read there through there. Okay, John 16, 26 through 27. And remember, you want to speak up so everybody can hear you back there. David, you're going to have to raise your hand if it's not loud enough, okay?
In that day you will ask in my name, and do not say to that, I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you. You can't, because you have loved me, you have believed that I came from God.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, technically, I only needed verse 26, but I really like being reminded that the Father himself loves me. Amen. Potholes, daylight savings, or wayward portable mics? Which one is going to give me the hardest time today? What does Jesus say we will do? He was looking in the future. What does he say we will do? We will pray in his name. That's what the scripture says right there. Do we believe Jesus is Lord? Oh, we can get a little louder than that. Amen. Do we believe Jesus is Lord?
Amen.
Okay, well, we're not quite synced either. Some of us are still on daylight savings time. Other people are like they're in Arizona. He says that we will pray in his name and we believe he is Lord. That means we must pray in his name. Of course, anyone who would feel comfortable in avoiding the name Jesus Christ in prayer is not likely to hold the Bible as highly or strictly as we do, especially the book of John. But for us whose faith is in the one who gave us all 66 books, it is clear from those two verses that we are to pray in Jesus' name. Seems case closed, but you, again, aren't off the hook. Because as I looked, and this is what I love about Scripture, so and I got back, and I was sure of it, and I thought of those verses, but I don't know about you. If I tell you something, and then I have any question, I want to go look it up. Because I was standing up, I didn't mean to, but I did offend at least one person, and from the sounds of it, she was talking to some atheist who was offended too. I wanted to make sure that I had reason for what I was standing behind, and I have it there. But, of course, I did a greater search about things we do in Jesus' name, and guess what? It's quite a bit. So what we're going to do is, now that we've brought that question of in Jesus' name to the forefront, or as a judge might say to a lawyer, now that you've opened that line of questioning, the lawyer's, oh, we can't talk about that. Oh, no, you've opened that line of questioning. Now that we've done it, we're going to see what the Bible tells us otherwise about in Jesus' name. We're going to go through a lot of references quickly. Some I'll have you look up, some I'll just read. But I think you'll be amazed at the number of things the Bible says that we will do in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and look up the first one. First John 3:23. You there? And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We love in the name of Jesus Christ. We won't turn there. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Let me read that to you. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition you receive from us. We command in the name of Jesus Christ. We keep away from those who reflect badly on the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. How about the next one? Ephesians 5. Let's turn together. Ephesians 5:15-21. Ephesians 5:15-21. Mike, you want to try this one? Ephesians 5:15-21. We'll give them a couple more seconds to look it up. It's a longer one. You up to it? Okay, go ahead.
Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. We learn from that we give thanks in the name of Jesus. We submit to one another in the name of Jesus. If you look at Acts 21:13, it reads, then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We die in the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but you be united in the same mind and same judgment. We appeal in the name of Jesus. We unite in the name of Jesus. Let's look up this next one, Acts 16:16-18. Acts 16:16-18. And by the way, I'm not saying the ones we look up are somehow more important. I'm just not, for saving time's purposes, just not going every one so that we can get through and you guys will be able to eat before 5 o'clock. Acts 16, 16 through 18. One second. As they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. Imagine it got a little bit on the annoying side. Look at this. Having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you," what do your Bible say there? "In the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. I imagine not many of you have done this, but we cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Staying in Acts, let's look at chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we're looking at verses 26 through 28. Acts 9, verses 26 through 28. "And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples." Needless to say, this early in Paul's career, they were a little worried about that. "And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of Jesus." We preach boldly in the name of Jesus. If you stay in Acts, I won't make you turn. You can if you want to. Acts 3, 4 through 7. It says, "And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them." Guy was begging. "Peter said, 'I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong." We heal in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I don't know about you, Diane. Wouldn't it be great to have a Christian doctor, whether they're doing surgery on you, say, "I heal you, Diane, in the name of Jesus"? And throughout the ages, by the way, that's why there have been so many missionary doctors. They have been healing and preaching in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 38, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. We baptize in the name of Jesus. We are forgiven in the name of Jesus. And we repent in the name of Jesus. Mike, want to do another one? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You're going to read there and there. Let's give them a chance to turn there since we have now left Acts temporarily. Just that little bit there and then that there.
Somebody here?
Here, yep, through there. Okay, we almost set. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians? Chapter 6, 9 through 11. Go ahead.
"Or do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually or immoral, nor
idolaters,
nor adulteries, nor men who practice
sexuality." I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking before I called you up on this one. Keep going, dude. You're doing fine.
Nor thieves, nor the greedy, no drunkards, no revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed.
Okay, ready? Actually, I want you to, this is where I want you to especially speak up. And I don't think, let me look, I think we're okay. Right, wait. All right, we'll just do this way. Sanctified, justified, okay? Got it? Mm-hmm. Got that one? Good, good. Go ahead, loudly.
You were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God.
Amen. We were, notice it's past tense, we were washed in the name of Jesus Christ. We were sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ. And we were justified in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts, if we go back in chapter 4, 11 through 12, it says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven, no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We are saved by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And there is salvation in no other name.
Amen.
At this point, it should be pretty clear that "in the name of Jesus" has a large scope. But luckily, Paul summarizes this for us anyway. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, verse 17. You there? "And whatever you do in word or deed, and whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him."
Amen.
As Christians, we do everything in the name of Jesus. And everything, if you go through that list that I just gave, everything that we have that is worth anything, we have in the name of Jesus. So, that was quite a list. We zoomed through it. So I'm going to go quickly through it again. Get your note paper out. Ready? We pray in the name of Jesus. We believe in the name of Jesus. We love in the name of Jesus. We command in the name of Jesus. We keep away from those who reflect badly on the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We give thanks in the name of Jesus. We submit to one another in the name of Jesus. We die in the name of Jesus. We appeal in the name of Jesus. We unite in the name of Jesus. We cast out demons in the name of Jesus. We preach boldly in the name of Jesus. We heal in the name of Jesus. We have eternal life in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus. We repent in the name of Jesus. We are forgiven in the name of Jesus. We were washed in the name of Jesus. We were sanctified in the name of Jesus. We were justified in the name of Jesus. We are saved by the name of Jesus. And there is salvation in no other name.
Amen.
We do everything. Thank you, Paul, for writing that letter to Colossians. We do everything in the name of Jesus. Now, I do realize that a few of my bullets have kind of tenuous associations with the references I gave. But please remember, I did give that final one that says we do everything in the name of Jesus. You know, for instance, you could pull out that we love in the name of Jesus out of that first reference I gave in 1 John 3:23. But I don't know about you. I love you all in the name of Jesus. And I love in the name of Jesus. Now, if praying in the name of Jesus offends some, you can imagine how much more aggravating that larger list will be. However, it does not compare to the howling they will make at hearing about this part of their future. And let's turn to that for one last scripture. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Philippians 2. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11. And if praying in the name of Jesus or that larger list bothers people, this will make them go apoplectic. Wasn't that the popular word a couple of years ago? Everybody was going apoplectic. You're shaking your head. That might be one of those words like, what is it, Bill O'Reilly do some word of the day kind of thing? Apoplectic. Just imagine crazy angry. So are we there? Ephesians 2, 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that so at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Yes. Now, we Christians do everything in the name of Jesus. Everything we Christians have that is worth anything is in the name of Jesus. That is unique to we Christians. But everyone with all caps, will at some point bow at the name of Jesus and confess that he is Lord. Not because Jesus uses some kind of Darth Vader mind control thing that forces them down on their knees. Because when the veil is lifted, like the demons already do, they will see the truth, the fact that Jesus is Lord, and will have no choice but admit what they spent their entire earthly existence denying in word and in action. Jesus is Lord, and his name is above every other name. I can't pray just in the name of Jesus. Now next time, assuming there is a next time, I haven't talked to Bob Flanders, but next time, assuming there is one, I'll probably do a little preamble and explain to people, because I don't want to offend, I'll probably explain to people that my faith requires, that my prayers have a certain form, and that actually the fact that I follow that form is the only way that I can really pray for them and with them, that to do otherwise, they would be just meaningless utterings, just a mere formality, not a prayer with or for them. I can't pray just in the name of Jesus. The fact is, there is absolutely no name in heaven and earth and under the earth that can be prayed to if we want our words to be more than sounds of transient words of transient mortals. And I say all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.